Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for Pentecost 2008.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in different tongues, as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his native language? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.
Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are great indeed. How manifold are your works, O Lord. The earth is full of your creatures.
Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord be glad in his works. Pleasing to him be my theme. I will be glad in the Lord.
Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.
If you take away their breath, they perish and return to their dust. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth.
Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. As a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian and I'm here today with Dawn. Dawn, do you want to say hello?
Hello, everybody.
And we're here to talk about Pentecost today. Dawn, did you have any thoughts about Pentecost or about the readings or any of that?
Well, I have a few varied thoughts, as usual. Nothing that connects to anything else. But I thought I could start off by talking about the word Spirit or Holy Spirit. The Hebrew word is ruah, and the Greek word is, I'm assuming you pronounce it pneuma. I'm not exactly
pneuma,
sure.
Yes.
Okay. and also the Latin word spiritus all basically mean like air in motion or breath or wind. With the root meaning is power. And so at the time of the gospel story being written, apart from human and animal power, the only visible energy source was wind. And so that's why we hear lots of times as the spirit being related to wind and things like that. We also hear about the spirit being described as God's breath. Like in the creation story, we have God breathing into Adam's nostrils. So we have all of that. And so here we reach today's, we have the reading from Acts and also in the gospel. And Jesus is announcing that he's sending these 11 apostles out as the Father has sent him, and he breathes on them. Now, our side joke here is always, does Jesus have coffee breath? But I don't know.
Just breath, like bad breath, yeah, morning breath, any of that kind of stuff.
But so anyhow, this, as he breathes on him, it's sort of an imitating the moment of creation when God blew on through Adam and brought him to life. So this is a new recreation. And so I like that story and image and things.
Well, that's one of the things too about all of everything Christ does, is it's all a recreation of everything that happened in history up leading up until Christ. Because basically what we see is Christ is recapitulating, or you know, going through and reliving the history of Israel, except for everywhere where the people of Israel or humanity has messed up, Christ gives the proper response. So, I mean, we're told elsewhere in Scripture kind of how, you know, Adam's sin in the garden was grasping at divinity, trying to be like God when the snake tempted him. And of course, we've got Christ who empties himself of his divinity, is what Scripture tells us in the Philippians hymn, and becomes a human being. You know, God becomes a human being just like us. We have things, the three temptations in the desert, where, again, they parallel things that happen in the life of the people of Israel, where the people of Israel give the wrong response, you know, worship a golden calf. Christ refuses to worship. So it's all this recapitulation and this recreation is exactly what's going on there. So I think you're very accurate on, you know, your reading there. Actually, I was sitting here saying, why do I even need to be on the podcast today? Don's got this covered.
Nope, that's about the limit of my input.
Well, another thing, too, I think that's always important as we talk about the Holy Spirit and Pentecost is to recognize the connection of Pentecost with our sacramental life in the church. And, of course, the sacrament that comes to mind or should come to mind is that of confirmation, where we receive the Holy Spirit and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. A lot of times people don't really understand the sacrament of confirmation. In fact, I was sharing with you earlier, Don, that some people describe it as the sacrament that's in search of a theology. And by that, what's saying is that people really think there's no theology behind the sacrament, or we can't articulate it clearly.
Mm-hmm, right.
And partially because, in a sense, it's being sealed with the Holy Spirit. And we say, well, what does that really mean for us, or how does that work in my everyday life? Well, one of the things I think that we need to point out is that it's part of the initiation into the Catholic Church is that sacrament of confirmation. And when we talk about being sealed with the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about, you know, sealing like a vacuum seal on something, or, you know, like when you seal an envelope, so to speak. What we are talking about is actually a marking similar to the way, I guess, in the old times, envelopes would have been sealed, where there's a logo kind of put right on it. And that logo is what's being put onto us so that we are marked by the Holy Spirit. And that's what's the gift of confirmation is about. It's being marked by the Holy Spirit. And when we're marked by the Holy Spirit, that's the final way in which we are claimed for God or for Christ. We talk about baptism puts a mark on our soul that makes us members of the body of Christ. And then in Eucharist, of course, we receive the actual body of Christ and incorporate his body into our own body and his blood into our own, you know, body. And then in the final stage of confirmation, or final stage of initiation, which is confirmation, we have this being sealed with the Holy Spirit. So now we're also marked by the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Holy Spirit is the advocate that Christ has been promising to give us. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone in this world. A lot of times, I think we do think that we're left alone or that Christ is somehow distant from us because, you know, either he lived, you know, 2,000 years ago or something like that. But he has given us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is present in our daily lives. It's present in the church. And I think a lot of times we tend to ignore that, or a lot of times we question it too. We sit here and say, oh, is the Holy Spirit really at work in all of this? Is it really at work in this sinful church that we see? How can we say that? All these types of things. But if we take Jesus at his word, we have to believe then that the Holy Spirit is indeed with us and is indeed protecting the church, guiding the church, and guiding all the members of the body of Christ.
That reminds me of a slogan or something I've heard somewhere that says, it's not the church that has a mission, but the mission has a church. And
you know what? That was on the podcast. I think actually I mentioned it last week on the podcast.
That must be.
The Cardinal Archbishop of Chicago is the one who says that all the time.
But that helps me too when I think about, you know, this messed up world we live in, or sometimes the things that you hear about that go on in the church. It's the church isn't the mission. The mission is what we're all about, and as part of that, there is a church. I guess in my mind it makes sense, but I can't verbalize.
Well, I think the way I described it, I think it was last week on the podcast, it might have been 2 weeks ago when I was talking about that same phrase, is that Jesus Christ gave us a mission. And when we go, you know, spread the good news to all nations. And in order to carry out that mission, we have a church.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
And I think that's important, that the church is an instrument to carry out this mission. And it's a necessary instrument, too. It's not accidental. It's not, we just happen to have this church, but we don't really need it. We could carry out this mission without the church. It is really essential. One of the things, when I went to see the Pope a couple weeks ago, I was really disappointed. I was in New York City, and there were these people selling T-shirts that said, God yes, church no. And they were trying to spread this message that you don't need the church because God is in you, and so there's no need for a church. And I thought, huh, well, the fact that you're trying to spread this message to everybody implies that you yourself are putting together a form of a church. You know, right there. The fact that you want everybody to be in communion with you in your own belief shows that you right there have a desire for a church. So in some sense, the whole argument falls right on itself when you feel the need that you need to promote this idea rather than just say, well, God's in everybody, you know, just let it be. But we do need a church. I mean, that's been clear from the very beginning. The apostles were always about being in communion with each other. Even Paul, when he received his vision from Christ and his mission from Christ directly, one of the things he did is went to the other apostles and sought communion with them in the mission that he was carrying out. So even though Christ had commissioned him, he still understood a need to be in communion with the 11 apostles. Well, the 12, I guess they, by that time, probably were back to 12 again.
That's a very important part. When I started looking at these readings, I was headed in that direction, but you just made it perfectly clear, Brian, perfect.
Well, also we talk about oftentimes Pentecost as being the birthday of the church. And that's an image. It's not fully complete in the sense that Jesus didn't come and say, well, today I'm giving you a church, here's how it's to be structured, da-da-da-da. And different theologians will point to different points in time as to when the church officially began. I don't think there's any one specific point that you can specifically say this is absolutely the beginning of the church. But it's clear that Pentecost is usually the date when we say now we have the fullness of the church there, because we have the Holy Spirit coming upon the apostles who are now going out and baptizing, and that's really the fullness of the church as we know it today, comes right at Pentecost. And so I think that that's an important thing to remember too, is that this feast really is not just about, you know, confirmation or the sacraments, which are important, but it's really about the church that Christ has left and us being members of that, being given the Holy Spirit to carry out that mission that's been given to us. So this is where Christ, now we can say, has given us the church to carry out that mission. And of course, we see it carried out in many different ways. One of the things in the second reading that I like is this whole notion, too, that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So in order to make that proclamation of faith, it means that you've already in some way been touched by God. And that itself is a gift. It's not something that I can choose, so to speak, to say or to deny. I can certainly resist grace, but at the same time, the whole choosing to become a Christian, as it's said in elsewhere in the gospel, comes from God. God says, you know, it's I who have chosen you, not you who have chosen me. And when we say no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, means that God in some way has chosen us or has touched us to be able to make that statement of faith. And I think that's also a very powerful notion that we get of how the Spirit is at work, because you can't say that unless you've somehow been touched by the Holy Spirit.
Brian, you've just made the podcast awesome today, again.
Well, Don, I think you had something to do with that yourself, too. But anyways, we are coming to the end of our podcast, so it's time to wish everybody a good week, and we hope you join us next week on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.